actress with a better act. Making fiction seem like fact. Creme de la Cornwall, Sarah Huntley. Brought to you, courtesy of Southside.
So, Jericho, you remember we were saying with respect to Jane Clark and how we made the decision yesterday that actually we could have possibly gone to Wimbledon to touch base with Sarah Huntley when we're doing our kind of location report in London, or else made our way to Woodford, Essex, a bit of a call there. We just actually found out we'd been a bit further than effectively Wimbledon, because as you heard on the jingle, the Creme de la Cornwall would have been tough to have actually sort of swung that into the whole sort of Southside adventure as well. But she's with us now, hopefully. Sarah Huntley, are you there?
I'm here.
And I notice, Sarah, you've decided to stay in Cornwall at the end of a very, very, very historic week as far as Londoners are concerned. And I just wonder why that is, really. Is it because you just you couldn't face the fact that last night, at 1 minute to midnight, those wonderful vehicles described as bulky, ungainly monstrosities, in other words, the bendy bus, have ceased to be travelling on London roads?
Well, I never really liked them. I never felt safe in the second part of them. And actually, I did last year see, when I got to Victoria Station about this time last year, one that had burnt out.
Yes.
You know, in the middle, had a fire.
Right.
So, I don't think they're good for the streets of London because it's too narrow. So I think they've made the right decision myself.
So the fact that Boris Johnson, who defined them, as we said, as bulky, ungainly monstrosities and said he was glad to see the back of the bendy buses, you would actually agree with that. His manifesto pledge to replace the articulated buses with double-deckers has actually been greeted, you know, as a success. But don't worry if you're a bendy bus fan, because you can go and use them in Leicester. That's where they've all gone. Amazing. Something we will take up with our Leicester correspondents later on. But yes, in terms of that, the bendy buses have left London, but they've gone to Leicester. They haven't really died. They've just gone to Leicester. How many parents could actually use that when the hamster goes? Don't worry, dear. Hamster hasn't really died. It's just gone to Leicester. Maybe even Sven-Göran Eriksson could have actually still used that line. How are you, Sarah?
I'm well. It's been a bit of a tricky old week, but, I'm still here.
Yeah. Well, you know, you and David Cameron, you know, the Eurozone, are we in, are we out, are we shaking it all about? I don't know. Have you just decided to ignore all that and say, look, you know, I like Angela Merkel, I like Nicolas Sarkozy, but who's best? Fight! Or not.
Well, he's either very wrong or he's very right.
Exactly. That is what we call Sarah Huntley's political finger on the pulse. That's what we've missed over the years. He's either very wrong or he's very right. No halfway house there. We're looking at our weather charts, and we're seeing you've got highs of 6 degrees in the sort of Cornwall region today, with sunny intervals and isolated light showers. Is that pretty much what you're experiencing now?
Oh, it's lovely here at the moment. It's crisp.
Yeah.
And it's chilly, but it's bright. And I'm looking, as I'm talking to you now, I'm looking over the sea to lots of green fields.
Splendid. Splendid. Mm. Yeah. Well, as I say, it's just as well. Effectively, we did decide to make alternative arrangements, and rather than just like, Sarah, shall we just drop by and do a little...
What were you doing yesterday, Alexia?
We were doing a midweek drive on the road special covering three of our ace London correspondents. It was supposed to originally be a trip to the Guinness Book of Records to officially collect my certificate for that funicular lift event we did earlier in the year.
Yes.
But that has had to be postponed until sometime in 2012. They've probably just lost the certificate. They just don't know what's happened. I don't know. Norris McFurt would be most disappointed. So we decided we'd actually still make use of the whole thing, and we did an in-depth study, which we'll be putting up online, and I'll send you an email as soon as it is, because I know you've appreciated this, of the Actors' Church. We had a guided tour by one of the fine folk, Richard Fitzwilliams, whose ancestor has actually got a plaque in the Actors' Church when he was an apothecary in the region. So, and as the former international...
Well, I absolutely adore the Actors' Church. That's actually when my daughter was christened.
There we are, you see. And yet I didn't see the plaque to Imogen Britton actually going up there.
Well, I hope not, because she's probably dead.
As ever, you see. A genius, isn't she? You know,
the witch.
There's got some amazing young people, and they've got Ellen Terry and Noel Coward.
Dame Flora Robson, Anna Massey.
You know. Beckinsale.
Vivian Leigh, Richard Beckinsale. Yeah. That's not Richard. Yeah. Richard Leigh and Vivian Beckinsale. Very confusing. And a whole heap of others. But anyway, that's a little treat you'll be able to hear. Our Southside cable listener will be able to hear it tomorrow. He's putting it out as a Sunday special. But in terms of the thing, it'll be online probably around about the middle part of the week. As well as that, we touched base with Liz Brewer, of course. And she presented me with her Christmas present, which was Liz Brewer's Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette. And we've been having random selections from Liz
that
Brewer's.
That's a good one.
Exactly. So would you like to give me a number between 1 and 130, please, Sarah?
Are you going to give me a handy tip on my etiquette over Christmas?
Well, it may. You can
may come in handy. Okay, I'd like to go for
62. Oh, 64 is be bold, be brave. But 62? Air conditioning. Due to the ever-increasing climate changes in today's world, be prepared. There are the occasional unexpected heat waves, and being too hot is unpleasant, especially for men in suits or black tie. If there is the remote chance that the temperature may soar, make certain you can hire or arrange for portable air conditioning units or effective fans for the occasion. That's kind of crucial. Actually, yeah. On the same page.
Well, I've only got a little house, so I just opened a window, but there we go.
Yes, you did. On the same page, heating. This could apply to Shea, Huntley and Britain, etc. Heating. If the venue is a large room, marquee or hall, make certain the area has been sufficiently heated before guests arrive and that adequate heating is provided during the event. If when you first inspect the premises, the heating is insufficient, hire industrial heaters for the occasion so that heat can be blasted where needed, if and when required. Jericho, I can see you sort of already picking up.
It was an interesting one, wasn't it?
62 is always an interesting one. As Ivana Trump.
I'm not going to go into the other number. I don't.
No, we went there. As Ivana Trump actually said.
I wonder if she has had a little thought when she got to 69, but perhaps not. For you, Sarah, I'll
go to us on Nerf. Just don't worry about it. Ivana Trump. The quintessential party creator and guide to social behaviour in the 21st century. And Ivana should know. Let's go to... You were tempted to go with that. I see page 31, Getting Started, the nitty-gritty.
I think I'd just hire somebody to fan me down like Cleopatra and feed me grapes. It was mine.
You will be delighted to know.
Electric fans in your pocket.
On page 69...
Yeah.
There is a photograph of a burlesque waitress at Tallulah Rendell's album launch with balloons. But in addition to that...
I think she has taken that on board then, yes.
Balloons. Balloons continue to add that particular party magic to an occasion with so many different types, sizes and colours. The only chore involved, once you have made your selection, is getting them inflated, tied, grouped and positioned. Their impact value resides primarily in quantity. The more you use, the greater their effect.
Never true words says.
It's true. As impact is the goal, don't scrimp on numbers. If for budget reasons you have at least a few patient helpers to deal with this exercise, balloons take careful planning as fully inflated, their life is limited. If they are to remain looking fresh, inflating should be done 5 or 6 hours before the event and as near as possible to the location, especially when creating large clusters. I hope you're taking notes, Sarah. This is crucial.
Priceless.
I see now why when Liz actually handed me this book, she said, I think you can make good use of this, Alex, she said. Yes. If you plan to place the balloons outside, keep them out of direct sunlight, because balloons perish quickly in the sun, so to prolong their appearance, position them in the shade until needed.
It's the line earlier on about blowing them up and having them ready to go.
It was always crucial, you know, and make sure they're inflated, tied, grouped and positioned.
Wow.
Yeah.
I think this book's priceless. I think we could have a lot of fun.
It's the updated 21st century guide with added netiquette. And a final piece on balloons on page 69. Bunches of balloons are helpful to indicate the entrance to an event and are an instant sign of the party's location. However, make certain to have security on the door, as they can also act as an open invitation to potential gate crashers and undesirables.
So could become dangerous.
Just beware when you're actually sort of inflating those balloons in Whitby, Jericho, or indeed down in sunny Cornwall. You don't leave them out there and you attract those undesirables.
When I'm blowing some balloons up, I'll make sure I have a bouncer stood next to me. Even if it's just one balloon, just for fun, hire a bouncer because, you know, gatecrasher. Yeah,
and of course, she said nothing about balloons in hot temperatures or cold temperatures, has she?
That could be another page, Sarah.
That's a whole other page, yeah.
Exactly.
Air conditioning or blow heaters.
Exactly.
There we are.
Exactly. There we are. Some of the crucial Lisbrewer tips from, as mentioned, the Lisbrewer Ultimate Guide to Party Planning and Etiquette. And she actually has a nice photograph of William and Kate there on the future cover there.
Is that an essential for all parties as well?
Picture of Kate and William. You know, Kate and Will's fantastic. You can these days, Sarah, so I've been told, because we covered this on the Midweek Drive Morning Edition, have Pippa panties. You can actually get those padded Pippa things, which actually sort of give you a wobbly bottom just like Pippa going down the aisle, if you so wish. Obviously, I think you've already gone. Your rear end has always been perfectly formed, Sarah.
I know all about balloons, how hot to keep the house and paper pants.
Yeah. Mm. Yeah, see, that was why it was worthwhile sending "yes, that's fine" to me back by text just before my mobile phone gave up its ghost last night whilst I was getting on the last leg from York to Eaglescliffe.
I think I've excelled my Christmas list last repair of them pants this year, personally.
Yeah, exactly. It's very true. So, Sarah, any particular Christmas tune you'd like us to provide for you? Because, as I said earlier, this has been the day where we've started beginning to go into our Christmas collection here at Southside Broadcasting, and we could have Spike Jones, "All I Want for Christmas Is My Two Front Teeth." We could have "Away in a Manger," the Westminster Cathedral Choir, "Christmas Bop" with T-Rex, "Christmas Day," Dido, "Come to the Manger," the Norwich Cathedral Choir, "Ding Dong Merrily on High" with the Bournemouth Symphony Orchestra, "The Early Christmas Morning" of Cyndi Lauper, "Frosty the Snowman" with the Partridge Family, many, many more. What would you like, Sarah?
You haven't got "Silent Night" there, have you?
Do you know, I think we should, shouldn't we, really? Santa's Baby, Santa's Saviour's Day. We have
Have you got Santa Baby?
We have got Santa Baby. We've got Silent Night, either by the Worcester Cathedral Choir or by G4, which is obviously a group of countries we haven't heard about. No, only kidding there. We know what G4 is all about.
Are they in the Euro? Who knows?
Exactly. Who cares?
You know, what did the three wise men bring? Frankincense, myrrh, and the Euro. I think maybe it's a bit irreverent to have Silent Night yet, but that's kind of Christmas Eve, isn't it? And I hope people be talking to you before actually Christmas Day again.
Yes,
perhaps I could have Silent Night later. Yeah. I think we should have the Santa Baby, because that's quite jolly and upbeat.
Well, here she comes.
Santa Baby, and hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry down the chimney tonight. Hurry tonight.
Did that do the magic for yourself, Sarah?
It did. I think we've got to remain jolly. Keep calm and carry on being jolly. That's all we can do.
Precisely, exactly. In fact, one hasn't even started writing Christmas cards these days. I don't, it's just for lining tight. It's all, it seems to get...
Do you know, I just guess whose Christmas card I wrote last night in my little place here.
And
yours, Alexis.
Oh, it's just, well, what can I say? Yeah, so it's just marvellous. You will, of course, receive yours sometime in January 2012. It's a way forward.
That's why I'm doing it now, because I like to enjoy them rather than do that last minute.
I know, exactly. And as we said yesterday, I was doing a piece with Lisbrough precisely about Christmas cards, etc. You know, the Americans, Sarah, they're prone to actually just send the card, not even sign it, they just send the card. I mean, what's the point of that?
What is the point?
You need to sort of personalise the whole thing, at the very least.
We also start sending Christmas cards by email.
We may be about to leave the Euro, but we do sign our Christmas cards.
Yeah, there we are, exactly. Yeah. And I actually do use, Southside Broadcasting does use, we send e-cards, quite a lot of e-cards actually, because we feel it's ecologically friendly. Did you receive one of our e-cards, Sarah? I don't remember what we've sent one to you. I know we sent it.
I don't know.
No. Sure we could sort something out as far as that's concerned. The centipede joke. This was something that was revealed to me at the Siren FM Christmas party on Wednesday night. I wish it hadn't been. But have you come across your centipede joke, Sarah Huntley, ever? The centipede joke.
No. The centipede joke? Tell me the centipede joke.
No, it's just a standard one. Jericho, you're unfamiliar with the centipede joke?
That's what I've never heard anything about Sunmead Joe. No. I saw the film, The Human Centipede.
Nothing to do with The Human Centipede.
Centipedes and anything else just puts me off.
Okay, well, while around this past year, a chap goes into a pet shop, and the only pet that effectively he really sort of thinks is quite interesting is this centipede, because the centipede can actually talk, and the pet shop owner says, oh, this is great, you know, fantastic. So he sells the centipede to the... Customer takes his centipede home, and they're going on very well. You know, a week goes by, 2 weeks go by, they're chatting merrily, there's a centipede, how are you, etc. And so, end of the sort of second week, beginning of third, the chap decides that he's going to actually give, you know, he's going to take the centipede out, a treat. You know, he's going to take the centipede to the pub. Centipede, we're going to the pub, okay? Doesn't hear anything. Yeah, so it says, centipede. It's on the centipede's little house, a little hutch there, no sign. Centipede, he keeps saying. And this goes on for nigh on 2 or 3 hours, and he gets worried, obviously, because centipede hasn't looked out. He says, centipede, where are you, centipede? And then finally, at the end of about 3.5 hours, look, I'm only putting my shoes on.
Oh. That's the worst centipede joke. No. Human centipede second after that.
there we are. There's one you can...
For another time.
Yeah, there's a certain sort of lie. I thought, you know, I can't, but it was actually even delivered in a kind of sober sort of mode, etc. It was still Lord above.
Why was the centipede being so
that
ignorant?
That could be very funny after you've had 4 glasses of wine.
It could, yes, exactly. Mm. But as I was teetotal on Wednesday night, it was irrelevancy from that sort of point of view. I just thought, why? And if I've done Joy Knight a disservice in delivering that horror routine, I apologise, but there we are. That's the bottom line. You always sort of come back in all sorts of other ways, etc. So what does the rest of the day have in store for yourself, sir? Will it be a healthy bracing walk across Cornwall, across the moors, etc.?
I'm going to go for a little walk now and catch the boat across to the other side and go a bit of a cliff walk.
Mm-hmm.
And then I'm coming back and I'm seeing a friend for a cup of tea and a piece of cake in the little cake shop, which would be very nice. And then I'm going to make myself go for a swim, but not in the sea. And then I'm aiming to do the rest of my Christmas cards this evening.
This is extremely efficient. You know, very, very good idea from that point of view.
That's a really nice day. I'm lucky to be not at work today because it's been a bit full on. So that's what I'm up to today.
Well, you know, that keeps us a little snapshot of life and times of Sarah Huntley. So, Jerrica, would you like to, in your own useful way, bowl those last two questions towards Miss Huntley with respect to life, the universe, and so on and so forth?
Have you had a reasonably enjoyable telephonic chat with us today?
I've had a more than reasonably telephonic chat. And I'll be continually thinking about my balloons and how hot the temperature is in my room.
A lot of chaps actually think about your balloons on a regular basis, Sarah, so I've been told, but never mind.
And, you know, whether to inflate or not. And I want
Jordan has the same problem on a constant basis, but never mind.
Because that's my little bit of... It makes me think Christmas has begun the next year, so could we... Can we have a link up and can I have Silent Night a little bit nearer to Christmas?
I think that makes perfect sense, really. Yeah,
thank you.
The last Christmas show I'm actually scheduled to do, and it's actually going to be a cave. I might do a piece on Christmas Eve because we are doing carol service live from the Chapel of the Good Samaritan on Christmas Eve, so there might be a little beast that comes through there. But other than that, I think it's going to be December the 22nd, which will be the Midweek Drive morning edition, which you're more than welcome to join us on, Sarah. You know,
I'll be free. Yeah. I'm free.
Excellent.
Because I won't be teaching then.
No, exactly.
And new acting work come in, so I'm free.
Well, there we are. You can, and that, of course, is streamed, so you can tell all your friends globally that they can listen to you on sirenonline.co.uk, as opposed to having to wait for the podcast or actually being in a cable service listening to it via all routines. It's very complex. It's a bit like saying multi-platform delivery. It's also quite complex. I still mourn those bendy buses. You know, somehow I think there's got to be a message for that. We'll find out what our Canadian correspondent Fiona Moore has to say about bendy buses and more. Do you know, when we phoned her up this morning, Sarah, I would have just left the answer phone on, but no, she got out of the shower to take the call and she put in. It's very, I think, you know, please, that's what answer phones are for. Just put it on there. You don't have to get out of a shower just to take a telephone call. It's all got very quiet. Did we? She said yes, and she's coming back.
She said yes, and can we look forward to speaking to you again?
Mm.
Me?
Yes.
Yeah,
hopefully. Only you.
Don't say hopefully, as said to Katrina. You will. You will return. Positivity. That's the important thing. Yeah, much like David Cameron, after a fashion. Just to the...